today as we come to the table.
Who are you to say that Jesus is the only way to the Father? You can honestly say to them, I didn't say that. God said that. I'm just his messenger. I'm simply relaying his message to you. He said you can't get there any other way but through Jesus. Now, what you do with that is what you do with it. And I don't mean in a snarky, prideful way. I mean in a humble way, in a meek way. You're not the one that came up with this. You didn't write the Bible. It doesn't matter what I believe. I didn't say this. And I didn't write it. Jesus said in John 14:6, no one goes to the Father except by me.
Have you ever heard that question? Who are you to tell me that Jesus is the only way? Well, we face this kind of skepticism often in our world. It seems that they're tolerant of anything but Christianity. A better question would be, who are we to question the Word of God? The Creator of the universe is the one who said that Jesus was his Son and that he was the only way to salvation. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. While the gospel of Jesus may be interpreted as exclusive and condemning, it's actually just the opposite. As the most well-known Bible verse of all, John 3:16 dictates, God loved mankind so much that he sent Jesus to save whoever would believe in him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John chapter 7 as he continues teaching us how to judge with righteous judgment.
Notice what it says here in verse 14. It says, now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and he taught. So suddenly the Lord just shows up. And it's interesting, prophetically, the Bible says that the Lord would show up suddenly in his temple. And so a lot of prophetic fulfillment here. He just shows up. There he is teaching. And again, he did it this way because remember, they were trying to kill him. And so he had to show up in private. He had to show up in secret so they wouldn't kill him. It wasn't his time to die yet. And so now the confrontation will begin as the Lord begins to teach them. And notice how he teaches them. Look at verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how does this man know letters having never studied? Now, again, notice they marveled. These are his enemies. And some of them were his friends, but the majority at this point were his enemies. And they're marveling at his teaching. Listen, when you're that great of a teacher that your enemies marvel, you're pretty amazing. Because they're not going to listen to what you have to say no matter what if they're your enemy. But if they're going, I hate that guy, but wow, that has an impact. That has an impact. It can't be denied. That is exactly what this means here in the language. Jesus was wowing these guys with amazing teaching straight from heaven. And look at their question. How can this man not know letters and never having studied? I guarantee he'd studied a lot. But what they meant was he'd never been to our universities. He'd never been to Bible college. He'd never been to seminary. Guys, I want to encourage you in this. Listen, I'm not anti-Bible college and seminary, but you don't have to go to Bible college and seminary to be used by God greatly. Some of the greatest figures throughout world history did not go to Bible college. Charles Spurgeon, the great evangelist, you know, the 1800s, didn't go to Bible college. Another great, G. Campbell Morgan, one of the greatest in church history, didn't go to Bible college. As a matter of fact, get this, none of Jesus' disciples went to Bible college or seminary. Jesus didn't go to Bible college or seminary. We have to lift the restriction of thinking that somehow you're not qualified because you haven't been to the structured Bible college and seminaries. Listen, where you get your instruction and teaching is spending intimate time in deep study and prayer with the Lord himself. And the Bible says if you do that, the Holy Spirit will be your teacher. He will instruct you. I never worry about a Christian who's spending time in the Word of God because God will direct them, God will guide them, and God will show them the direction they're supposed to go. You know, there are some churches today that unless you have a Bible degree or seminary degree, they won't even let you be their pastor. Well, that excludes Jesus. Could we have Jesus be our pastor? No, he's not qualified. Oh. What about his disciples? Certainly they went to Bible college. No, none of them went. Wow. Okay, well, let's go out there. Guys, go out there and find somebody qualified to lead this flock. Now, I say that sarcastically to make the point. Don't ever let anyone intimidate you about your right and your authority and your call to teach and share the word of God, because that comes straight from heaven. It doesn't come from man. As a matter of fact, man oftentimes so perverts it. Listen, I'm concerned about the Bible college and seminaries today. And I'm not just saying this because I didn't go. Some, well, you didn't go to Bible college, you didn't go to seminary, so that's why you're saying it. I'm not saying it because I didn't go. I don't have a personal thing, you know, trying to make some point. I'm saying it because of man's teachings in Jesus' day, the Lord had to go outside of the normal people and just start teaching straight from God from heaven. And they were astounded when he did. They knew they didn't get that in their Bible colleges. There were 30-some different Bible colleges or yeshivas at this time in Jerusalem. Jesus didn't go to any of them, and they all quoted each other and used each other's references, and the Lord went outside of all of it and said, here's what the Word of God says, and straight from heaven, they marveled at his wisdom and his knowledge. And he had to go outside of that establishment. Throughout history, God has had to go outside of the establishment in order to do that, and today, God still has to, I believe in our day and age, God needs to really go outside of the establishment to do that. Because a lot of the man-made teachings that we find in our seminaries and colleges, they lead people astray. I've known guys that have gone, known of guys that have gone to Bible college and come back not even believers. Because they've convinced them that the Bible is no longer true. Somehow they've convinced them that Jesus is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. That somehow he doesn't work the same way he did 2,000 years ago. Or he's not the same God that can do the same things. Listen, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Everything that the Word of God has is for you. All of the gifts, all of the promises, the fullness of the Spirit. The Bible says it's all there. It's man that removes it by man's teaching, depending on what background or denomination they come from. You look at the Middle Ages, parts of the church had gotten so perverted and so off course that Martin Luther said, you know what? You're not even teaching the Bible. These are all man's teachings. They're all man's doctrines. And he cried out that famous Latin, you know, statement, sola scriptura, that is the solely the scripture, the Bible alone, in other words. All we need is God's word. And other guys, Ulrich Zwingli and all these other people started teaching the word of God again during that time, getting the church back on track. God had to go outside of the camp. The Anglican church in the 1700s with John Wesley and the whole movement there. He said, we need to be teaching the Bible. We're not teaching the Bible. We're teaching the doctrines of men. They kicked him out. He went to the streets. Thousands gathered to him, and a whole new movement started. God does this over and over in more recent history. Guys, listen, from our movement, back in the 60s and 70s, when all the hippies were trying to come into church, a lot of the denominations were rejecting the hippies. They said, first they need to cut their hair, you know, take a bath, you know, put on some shoes and quit bringing their surfboards. Then we'll let them come to church. Pastor Chuck said, you know what? Jesus doesn't care about that. He loves you. Come on in. And he received them all. And because of that, God started a whole new movement through Calvary Chapel. Now, I'm not lifting up Calvary Chapel. I don't even know that Calvary Chapel is the exact same movement it was then. It's real close. But the bottom line is here's the point. God works outside of the system when the system becomes corrupted. And the system in Jesus' day had become corrupted. And much of the system in our day has become corrupted. According to one of the professors at Liberty University, there are only 3 Bible colleges and seminaries, if I remember correctly. If I'm wrong on 3, then I apologize. Let's just say a very small number. And if I remember correctly, he said 3 that he had found that still believe the Bible is without mistake in America. 3. So when you think about going to Bible college or seminary, and they'll use the words in their language, we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. But when you ask them, what does inerrancy mean? Well, we know there are some things that aren't exactly right. But we mean in the original thought of God and in the whatever, and that's what he meant. No, they're saying there's mistakes in the Word of God. Now, my heart today wasn't to attack Bible college and seminaries. My heart today is to say, this has been a problem going on throughout history. The same thing happening today is the same thing that was happening back in Jesus' day. And Jesus said, I'm not going to go to your corrupted institutions. I'm going straight to the Father, and I will learn from him. You say, well, he was the Son of God. He was God. He knew all this. No, wait a minute. The Bible says he laid down his rights and privileges to heaven so he would be just like a man and learn only what we have available to learn. What that means is everything that Jesus sought God and learned, we can get from the Father. We're never going to walk like Jesus. We're never going to be like Jesus. We're not going to be as great as Jesus. Don't let me give you the wrong impression. But he was a man just like we are men and women. And so the avenue that he had to go to God and the Word of God and to pray and say, God, show me from your Word, not what Calvary Chapel teaches or not what any other church teaches. What does your Word teach? And I hope that the church I'm in is sticking true to the Word, but it's not about a certain church. It's about God's Word. This is the standard. This is where we have to be. This is the only thing that's going to last. I look at, again, the state of the church today. I mean, even there are some churches that say, we shouldn't be looking at prophecy. Forget prophecy. Leave it out. That's something we shouldn't pay attention to. Do you realize that one third of your Bible is prophecy? Pinch about a third of your Bible and look at it. If you believe we're to do away with prophecy, you need to throw about that much of it away. I don't know about you, but I want every drop that God has for me. Everything from beginning to end, because it's all applicable for today. And so Jesus here, they're marveling. He doesn't have letters. He doesn't have PhD after his name. He doesn't have the understanding. And that's not really what it means. It's really more of the actual study that it means, of the official books and the readings and all that. Having never studied, how can he do this? I've never seen something like this, or whatever the case might be. But the bottom line is if you didn't have that, they wouldn't let you be a pastor. You had to be officially sanctioned by them, ordained by them, accredited by them. And you had to be schooled in their opinions, get the foundation that they believed in. Then the rabbi said, all right, now we'll let you teach. Jesus said, forget all that. My Father teaches me straight from his word. I'm going to go and start a Bible study. And he goes to the Temple Mount and starts teaching the word of God, and they can't stand it because he's teaching more powerfully than they ever could, because he's getting it straight from heaven. Guys, you guys can do the same thing. You can open up your Bible and start a Bible study in your home, or do a home fellowship and share the word of God, or with your friends at work, and there's going to be power in your life if you study God's word and seek God's words. The Bible says a workman that needs not be ashamed. And so where did he get this? I'll tell you where he got it. He got it straight from God. And this should be encouraging to us, because we can do the same thing. Get it straight from God and then give it out to God's people and the world. And notice Jesus answered and said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but him who sent me. In other words, I didn't learn this from going to a bunch of Bible colleges. I didn't come up with this. This is God's doctrine. God gave me this. I'm simply sharing it. By the way, believer, if someone says to you, who are you to say that Jesus is the only way to the Father? You can honestly say to them, I didn't say that. God said that. I'm just his messenger. I'm simply relaying his message to you. He said you can't get there any other way but through Jesus. Now, what you do with that is what you do with it. And I don't mean in a snarky, prideful way. I mean in a humble way, in a meek way. You're not the one that came up with this. You didn't write the Bible. It doesn't matter what I believe. I didn't say this, and I didn't write it. Jesus said in John 14:6, no one goes to the Father except by me. And then in Acts 4:12, it says this, there's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved except the name Christ Jesus. You didn't come up with that. You don't have to feel bad if people are attacking you for that. This isn't your idea. You didn't get a little group together and say, let's write some things down and I'll go make a stand on it. You received it from heaven, and you're simply passing it on. And this is what Jesus says. He says, this is not my doctrine. I didn't do this. I didn't come up with this. Paul said in Galatians 1:11-12, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord showed me this. And so, powerful. And look what he says. This is great. You want to know what truth is? Look what he says in verse 17. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. What a powerful verse. He's saying here, do you want to know what the truth is? Do you want to know which religion is right, so to speak? Do you want to know whether it's God's word or whether it's not God's word? Then do God's will. Do God's will, and God will reveal to you the truth. And the more you do God's will, the more truth that God reveals to you. He says, you'll know it's true if you simply obey. Be obedient. And you'll know the truth. The problem is, a lot of people don't want to be obedient. And so, you know, they don't do it. And they ask, how can I know what's true? And how do I know that the Bible, Jesus simply said this, if you do the will of the Father, you love one another, you believe the word of God, you do the will of the Father. Well, how do we know this is the word of God? Jesus validated it. By the way, Jesus said in Luke 24, and that's a whole other study we don't have time for, all they had in Jesus' day was the Old Testament. That's all they had. They didn't have the New Testament yet. So Jesus validated, he said, everything written in the law and the prophets and the writings is concerning me. The law and the prophets and the writings was the way the Jew referred to the Old Testament back in that day. They didn't call it the Old Testament. They said the law and the prophets and the writings, that's what they called it. So what he's saying is the Old Testament that you have in your hands, which by the way, we've validated by the Dead Sea Scrolls, is the same Bible you have in your hands this morning. Jesus said, that is God's word. Obey it. Follow it, live it. What about the New Testament? Jesus said this, he told his disciples, I will bring to your remembrance all things that I've taught you. And they simply wrote them down. It's a supernatural thing. He said, I'm going to do that. So his disciples wrote it down. We now have what we call the New Testament. And there's other ways that we validate the New Testament. It has to have certain power. It has to be inerrant and all these different things. But God has validated his word. Now we simply have to do it, obey it, follow it. And then we're going to know. You'll know the difference. He says, notice he goes on, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Well, what an indictment this is for the person today that just puts on the show and wants all the attention to be on them. And here's the thing. Sometimes I can get a little animated. Today's not as much of an animated teaching. Today, you guys might get a little more boring today. I don't know. Today's more doctrinal. And I don't get up there thinking, okay, I've got to do a certain thing today. But sometimes I'm just in certain moods where I'm a little bit silly and I'm a little more animated. And the bad thing, you know, there's a laugh or two and somebody, like, that was funny. I said, I hope you remember what the real reason we're here. And that was God's word. But I'm glad that was funny or whatever the case might be. But the thing is, if I was doing that to try to get the attention, if I want to put a show on, entertain you, the Bible says I'm a false prophet. Now, if I do that, that doesn't mean I'm a false prophet. If I'm if something happening, I'm whatever, because that's my personality. I'm just being Mark, and sometimes, you know, the dumbness comes out. You get to see it. But if my goal is to get up here and entertain you every second, I got to do a show. I got to be funnier than last week. I need some funny jokes. I need to find something here. This isn't going to be whatever. He says that a false prophet is concerned with stuff like that because they want to care. What do the people think? Was it entertaining enough? Was it engaging enough? I'm not saying we shouldn't be engaging in our teaching. The last thing I want to be as a pastor is a boring pastor. Nobody wants to be that. But if my goal is just to be an entertainer, it's just as bad. I mean, the Lord makes it clear. He says, you know, if he seeks his own glory, concerning he who speaks up for himself or from himself seeks his own glory. What I want to teach you, what I want you to know, the attention that I want, that's a false teacher. He says, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. If we're lifting up Jesus, there's a true teacher of God, pointing us to Jesus Christ. Notice he says, verse 19, did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. That is, you can't keep the law. Jesus was able to, but no man's able to really keep the law. He says, why then do you seek to kill me? Now, this is interesting because he reveals that he knew the leadership was trying to kill him. A lot of the people didn't even know this at this time. They weren't openly saying they were trying to kill Jesus. Jesus knew it. They certainly didn't tell Jesus. He knew by the Spirit, they're trying to kill me. And he knew he'd come to die. He said, not only do you not obey the law, you people that are trying to kill me, but you want to kill me. Why are you trying to kill me? You yourselves don't obey the law. And I'm teaching you straight from heaven, things that are making you marvel. I'm showing you God's glory. And you want to put me to death? So the people answered and said, verse 20, you have a demon who's seeking to kill you. That was the way back then of saying, you're crazy. They called people, you know, that were crazy back then, demon. They said, you have a demon. You're insane, so to speak. And so they were saying, you think somebody's trying to kill you? You're crazy, you have a demon. It's no different today, really, for the Christian. If we make a stand and we speak the truth, they'll say, well, you're crazy. Who do you think you are? And you really believe the Bible? You're nuts. It's no different today. And Jesus answered and said to them, I did one work and you all marvel. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about when the man, remember, that was next to the pool of Bethesda, 38 years, he was a paralytic, and he said, rise up, take your bed and walk. The word had spread all over Jerusalem about that the last time Jesus was there. And they're all marveling. This guy just told this cripple to get up and he got up. And we know he was crippled. We've known the guy for 38 years. He's crippled. Jesus, and they're all talking about it. He goes, look, I did one thing. Just one. I mean, to us, that's pretty amazing. But he's saying, that's one thing. And you're all marveling because I did that one thing. He says, Moses, therefore, gave you circumcision. Not that it was from Moses, but from the fathers. Really, it started with Abraham is his point. Moses just wrote it down in the law. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I've made a man completely well on the Sabbath? In other words, here's what the Bible says. You were to circumcise your male children on the eighth day. What happened if that fell on a Sabbath? You weren't supposed to do any work on a Sabbath. They considered that work. So now you had to go, in order to follow the word of God, you had to go and circumcise that child on the eighth day, which oftentimes fell on a Sabbath. And he says, look, here you are doing a work on the Sabbath and you're actually causing pain. Here I did something on a Sabbath for that paralytic and I actually caused joy by healing him and you're judging me? You want to kill me? You say that I'm unrighteous? He goes, you're judging based on your own opinions. You're judging based on outward appearance. You're not judging righteous judgment based on the word of God, which gets back to the main theme of what we're talking about today. They were being hypocrites. They were accusing him of things that they didn't even know what they were talking about. Then he says in verse 24, and this brings it right back to the main thing we started with, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. He lays out the guidelines for proper biblical judgment. Unrighteous judgment deals only with outward appearance. And by the way, literally in the language, verse 24, appearance means outward appearance. See, don't judge by what you see and think is right and wrong based on what your opinion is. You don't know the motive, and number two, you're not applying the word of God. Those are the two elements for proper judgment, motive and the word of God. Now, if somebody's living in sin and they're, you know, an open sexual sin of some kind and they call themselves a brother and you know that, you don't have to know the motive. The sin is evident. But again, the key here, he's making the point is by outward appearance and the way it's you're addressing it that way, this is unbiblical judgment. It's sinful the way you're doing it. And so his bottom line is make sure if you're going to judge, do it with righteous judgment. And again, what is righteous judgment? Based on the word of God and love. That's righteous judgment. Based on the word of God and love. And that's within the church. Okay? So when someone says to us today as a believer, we're not to judge, the answer to that is yes, we are. We're commanded to. We're just not to judge unrighteously. We're not to judge based on opinion. Well, you're judging me because I'm sleeping with my girlfriend. I'm not judging you because of that. The Bible says that's sin before God. I'm simply letting you know the message and telling you there's going to be a consequence if you don't repent. Why? Because I care about you. I love you. I don't want to see you destroyed in this sin. I want to see you walk in righteousness. I mean, we have in our culture today, not only the cultural sins that are obvious, but again, can you imagine if the church never addressed sin within the church? Again, I've used the example probably so much you're sick of it, and I know I use the same ones, but this one is just so appropriate. Again, if your doctor doesn't tell you the truth, find a new doctor. The last thing you want to do is know that you have something that's killing you, but he doesn't want to tell you that it's killing you because it might make you upset and you won't come back to him. You need to have people that love you enough to say, you know what, there's an issue here that has to be dealt with, but we have to do it in love and with righteous judgment. And so when we look at the church today and we see the church saying things like, you know what, I don't mind that you're living in some open sin that the Bible says is wrong and the Bible says is sinful. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to say anything about that. Matter of fact, I'll let you be on the worship team. Matter of fact, I'll let you be in leadership and you can keep living in that sin. You know what? Let's just not talk about it. We're not going to bring it up. Guys, that is a failed church. That is a church that is now no different than the world. That is a church that has now become completely corrupted and tainted. And it is certainly a church that will never reach the world because there has never been a church movement. There's never been an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in church history that has ever affected the world around it when the church was like the world. Historically, the only time historically, and it makes sense biblically, but the only times historically the church has ever made an impact in its community and in its world around it is when the world is different than the church and the church is different than the world. And the church stands up and says, this is right, this is wrong. You decide between God what you're going to do with it. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we'll love you in the midst of it. That's proper judgment. So let's make sure we understand, don't be afraid to evaluate. Don't be afraid to be a fruit inspector. Don't be afraid to judge. Just make sure you do it with righteous judgment, not based on your opinion, not judging other people's motives, but only on the word of God through prayer, and make sure that you've got a huge dose of love or it's worthless. Let's pray that God would do that in our lives.
Thanks for spending the last half hour with us at the table of God's Word. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of John next time, but you don't have to wait for our next episode to keep digging into the Bible. You can access more messages right now at PastorMarkKirk.com or subscribe to the daily podcast right from our website. And feel free to share these teachings with your friends or family members or someone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. The book of John is a great introduction to who Jesus is, and it might just be the conversation starter you've been looking for. That website again is PastorMarkKirk.com. Hey, are you listening right now in the Knoxville area? If so, we want to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark with a personal invitation.
Thanks, Greg. I want to let you know there's a seat waiting for you here at Calvary Knoxville. We've been here since 1997, and it's been an honor to see God do such incredible things in our fellowship and in this community. Come join us as we invest in God's Word and in each other. And yes, we're meeting in person. All our services and ministries are being held each week, but we're also streaming online for those who can't make it in person. You can find out everything by clicking on the Our Church section at PastorMarkKirk.com. I'm excited to see you this weekend, and I hope you'll join me again the next time we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.